Okay, junior high. Do you have your eyes on the prize? And I'm not talking about a trophy. I'm not talking about maybe a big fat A plus on a school assignment. I'm not talking about Lucas Lynn's little turtle sticker for finishing the race. I'm talking about the prize that affects not only our lives here on Earth, but also into eternity. Oh, I love the thoughts on there, but we'll keep it quiet. Okay, so what does prize and eyes have to do with eternity? It's all because of two words. Press on. From verse 12 to 14, Paul says to press on twice. I press on to take hold of that, and I press on toward the goal to win the prize. So what is this prize? What's this prize that Paul is helpfully yapping on about here? First of all, let me talk about what the prize isn't. This is really important. The prize isn't salvation. Paul is most definitely not saying, press on to win your salvation. Like three verses before this, in verse 9, he says, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Salvation and righteousness is by grace through faith. There's nothing that we can do. Verse 12 and 13 also help. Here Paul says, Christ Jesus took hold of me. He saved me. And it's so certainly not what we do that Paul forgets his past life. He forgets what is behind him because he knows he is saved. So with that in mind, what is the prize? We're going to jump ahead to the end of the passage then, even though it's a little bit of a spoiler because it really helps us to understand this passage. Here we go. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. So, the prize is complete perfection. Now, what I mean by that is that we will live in transformed and perfected bodies, bodies like Jesus' one, but most importantly, we will be with Jesus. Our relationship with Jesus will be perfected. The gap that's between us and God because of sin, that will be taken away, and we will be in a perfect relationship with Jesus. Now, that's a real chunky introduction, but it's really important to understand this passage. So, let's dive in then, shall we? Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. This is where the fun begins. Because Paul is explaining here what the life goal of every single Christian who will ever exist and who has ever existed is. And that's to press on. He recognizes that he is saved. Christ has taken hold of me. But also his responsibility to keep living with eternity in mind. This means that every waking moment of Paul's life is spent pressing on to win the prize, being completely perfected with Jesus. This is so important that Paul again says in verse 14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So junior high, I ask you again, do you have your eyes on the prize? Let me tell you why this is so important. Let me give you an example, a real world example of why keeping your eyes on the prize is so important. And I'm talking about the greatest sprinter of all time, Usain Bolt. Now, I want you to cast your minds back to 2015. You guys were what, like 3 or 5? 5? Gosh, that makes me feel old. Anyway, Bolt had just recovered from a serious injury and he was having one of the worst seasons of his career. He finished like 20th fastest in the world when he was previously dominating. Anyway, there was this other bloke named Justin Gatlin who was having an absolute cracker of a season. He was finishing first, left, right, and center. And he was saying, I'm going to beat Usain Bolt at the 2015 World Championships. And it was looking like he was going to. But then, this happens. Is there sound? Volume. Okay, I can't turn the volume up on this. We'll just have to watch. It's a visual thing anyway. Here we go. Bolt's running. Gatlin is running. Other people around him are running. Bolt keeps on running. Who's going to win? Gatlin or Bolt? I don't know. Who's going to win? Bolt takes the lead. That's right. And do you know why Usain Bolt took the lead? Do you know why? Because he kept his eyes on the prize. He looked at that finish line and he pumped his arms at every step. He put every energy into every step. And so he won the prize and he solidified his reign as the GOAT of sprinting. Anyway, that's a really important reason. That's a good example of why keeping your eyes on the prize is important. And this is what Paul is getting at here in this passage. Keeping your eyes on the prize requires every energy, like Usain Bolt, putting every energy into every step so that he could win the prize. We need to put every bit of energy that we have every day into winning the prize, which is being completely perfected with Jesus in heaven. Now, that's really hard. So how can we possibly do this? Well, achieving any goal requires the proper mindset. Verse 15. All of us then who are mature should take such view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Pressing on is a mindset. That means that in every task you do, you can have the mindset of pressing on. But what do you think about with this mindset of pressing on? Well, just like how Usain Bolt pumped his arms with each step to win the prize, you could be constantly thinking about being perfected with Jesus in heaven. And that can then impact every decision that you make. So let me give you a little bit of an example. Let's say I'm at school and one of my really close friends calls me stupid and ugly behind my back and I find out about that. How horrible is that? Anyway, taking the press on mindset might look like remembering our future prize of being completely perfected with Jesus in heaven. Realizing that in this moment, that comment, while it's really hurtful, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really matter. And while it's really, really hard, forgiving them. So that's just one example. Anyway, another thing to note, pressing on and maturity go hand in hand. So let me ask you this question, Junior High. Do you think that you are mature? No. Interesting. I'll explain why maturity is important. But do you think that there isn't anything else to learn about God? Do you think that there isn't any more room to grow as a Christian? Well, since maturity is a deeper knowledge and love of God that impacts every single decision that you make, everyone in this room has room to grow in maturity. If Paul himself thinks that there's always a need to press on in and grow in maturity, then so do you. So press on to win the prize with maturity, Junior High. Now, you might be asking, why does maturity matter? Why does pressing on matter? Well, let's jump to verse 18 and 19. This is why maturity matters and pressing on matters. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Another mindset that we can have is the one that's focused on earthly things. Where the mindset of pressing on encourages sprinting with everything you have towards Jesus and the future prize of being completely perfected with Jesus in heaven, the mindset of earthly things encourages a general lack of care for that future prize and for Jesus, and a greater focus on living in the moment and the things around us of this world. Unfortunately, because we have sin, we naturally seek to distract ourselves from the prize and cherish the things of earth. While they are still good, we cherish them more than we do Jesus. Verse 19 says, their God is their stomach. Because we are sinful, we naturally want to turn the good things that God gives us, good things, and we turn them into the things that replace God, God things. Paul uses food in this verse, but what things might we turn into our idols today? Things that are good but have become God for us. Fun, our phones, food still, I guess, good grades, beauty, experience. What about popularity? Or being the cool person in your friendship group? Or what about being the funniest person in your friendship group? So Junior High, are you having fun with Jesus as number one? Or has fun taken Jesus' place? Are you funny while Jesus being number one? Or has being funny become your life goal? Are you looking for popularity over Jesus? Do you have your eyes on the prize, or do you have your eyes on the hot boy or girl at school? Paul is very clear about the destiny of those whose God isn't Jesus Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Pressing on is so important because it helps us to navigate around these things, even while appreciating how good they are, the good things of the earth that God has given to us to enjoy. Pressing on is so important because it helps us to flee from the mindset of earthly things, the destiny of which is destruction. Yet pressing on towards the prize and sprinting towards Jesus also is important because verse 18 doesn't only say non-Christians. It just says there are enemies. What I mean by this is you can say, Jesus is my king, but then you can live with your mind set on earthly things. You can live as an enemy of Christ by any one of those dangers that I mentioned before. And this comes from a lack of care about pressing on the mindset of earthly things. And slowly the things of this world grow in importance until the prize of being completely perfected with Jesus becomes insignificant and it doesn't matter for you anymore. This lack of care can creep up to any of us and steer us away from Jesus to become enemies of him without even realizing it. So we need to be careful about pressing on and the mindset that we have. But let me encourage you with the words of Romans 8, 38 to 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Junior High, it is through God's power that we are saved, and nothing can ever separate you from the love of God. And he is always there waiting with open arms. So do not worry about your destiny. Thankfully, Paul also gives us a fantastic way to help us to press on and fight against the dangers that threaten us. And that's to have role models to look forward to. Company. Join together, verse 17. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a role model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Paul urges the Philippians to follow his example, not because he is perfect, but because he has the mindset of pressing on to win the prize of being completely perfected with Jesus. And Paul urges us to do the same thing with those around us. He urges us to find the role models who are mature. Remember what I talked about with maturity before. Not because they are perfect, but because they have the mindset of pressing on with everything they have. So Junior High, who are your role models? Who do you keep your eyes on? Who do you look for a good example of how to live a godly life? The believer who is wise has many people who are their role models, who point them back to Christ. The believer who is foolish doesn't think they need a role model, and they can fall prey to the mindset of earthly things really easily. So Junior High, I want you to take a brief look around you into the room right now. Just have a look around, have a quick look around. Who could be your role models? You might think that your leaders could be your role models, and that is great because your leaders are praying for you and they are worth imitating. So observe your leaders, Junior High. Observe the leaders around you, how they talk, what they think about, how they joke, how they have fun, how they speak, how they look at the Bible, how they pray each time you see them twice a week, and imitate what you see. But do you realize, this is really important, do you realize that you could be each other's role models? To be in healthy company, to fight the dangers of what we talked about before, is to be with people that point you to Christ, and you guys can be that for each other. So I ask yourself this question. Is your life worth imitating? If someone was to look at your life right now, the way that you act in public, the way that you act in private, the way that you speak, imagine they could see into your mind and what you think about. Would this point them towards Christ? Remember that the mindset of pressing on is giving every effort into each day, each step. So would someone see that you're pressing on if they could see every single aspect of your life? Let's look again at Usain Bolt and his race. He was able to sprint as fast as he could because there were people beside him in his peripheral vision that kept pushing him to run as fast as he could to win the prize of becoming the GOAT at sprinting. People that were peers of his, in a way. And I'm sure it's easier for you guys to run harder in a running race if you've got people around you who are also running. The same thing happens with our Christian walk. It's so much easier to press on toward the goal of and the prize of being completely perfected with Jesus if there are other people around you pushing you to do so. So what would this mindset look like with this company practically? Well, I've created a brief list of suggestions, not an exhaustive list, but a suggestions of how having this mindset of pressing on affects each of our different relationships with maybe our role models, our peers, our parents, and God. The first is God. Maybe the mindset of pressing on could affect your relationship with God by listening to his word, asking him questions to grow, praising his name, thinking of him in each activity that you do, repenting for when you stuff up, and asking him to reveal what dangers to pressing on you face. Maybe it's your phone, maybe it's food, maybe it's popularity. Asking him to reveal that. Secondly, your parents. Believe it or not, your parents are wise. So listen to their wisdom. Respect their authority. Looking at their example of pressing on. Asking them with how they're pressing on and how they're going with pressing on. And how they're pressing on as well. Your peers. Maybe you could check in with them to see how they're pressing on. Maybe you could sacrifice popularity or a good joke at the expense of others so that you can encourage someone who is struggling or someone who's on the outside. Maybe you can make an effort to get to know them. Maybe you could trust them with how you're actually going or ask them for prayer. Maybe you could forgive them if they've hurt you. Maybe you could be a peacemaker if there's any conflict to encourage them. Maybe your leaders, you can respect their authority. You can contribute and ask questions in your study to grow because you're pressing on. You can ask them questions to challenge them and mature yourself as well. You can observe how they live. Keep your eyes on how they live and see how that differs from you or is the same as you. You can also ask them for prayer because they will pray for you. And yourself, how does this impact how you view yourself, your relationship with yourself? You can watch your passions to make sure that they don't replace God and that you're still pressing on. You can give every effort to everything you do so that it might glorify God. You could be honest and actually admit what dangers you are facing to pressing on. You can forgive yourself when you stuff up. And something really practical, maybe you could set a reminder on your phone or ask your parents to remind you each day to think of how good the prize will be in heaven. Now, pressing on isn't easy, junior high. In fact, it's extremely difficult to press on each day. And it will be especially hard to press on in times where life is super, super tough. So let's look again at how unbelievably amazing the prize waiting for us in heaven will be. Verse 20 to 21 again. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Remember, junior high, heaven is our home. So of course, now life is going to be tough. It's going to be hard at times. While we were still here on earth, we're in a period of homesickness in a way. But there will be a day when we will be restored. Will be physically rescued from the sin by Jesus, just as we have been spiritually rescued now by him dying and rising again. We will be forever transformed, perfected, and have glorious bodies like Jesus. That means no more pain, no more crying, or mourning, or heartache, or sadness. And we will be in everlasting joy. Most importantly and excitingly, we will be with Jesus. Our relationship will be with Jesus, will be perfected, and we'll be in perfect dwelling with our good and loving God. So junior high, I ask you one final time, do you have your eyes on the prize? Because you best believe it is worth it. Okay, let me finish by praying. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the prize that is awaiting us in heaven, of being perfectly, completely perfected and with your Son, Jesus. Thank you that he has rescued us now and that we can press on. Father, help us to be honest about the dangers that we face, about the idols that we give ourselves, like food or social media or popularity or how funny we are or having fun even, Lord. While they are good things, help us not to turn them into God things, things that replace you. So, Father, help us to look at those around us, encourage those around us so that we can all run and sprint towards you and towards the prize that is waiting for us. We thank you that you're so good and so sovereign, and we praise you for how you have rescued us. In your Son's name, amen.